Well, let's read now from God's Word from Galatians chapter 6, page 1172 in the Church Bibles. Page 1172. We'll read verses 1 to 10. So Galatians 6 at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Amen. May God bless his word to us. I want us this evening to focus on two short sections of Galatians chapter 6. First of all, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5, what seems to be a contradiction, but it's not. For each one should carry their own load. In 1990, the American author Tim O'Brien published his bestseller of the Vietnam War. The book was a series of short stories, and its title was The Things They Carried. It's about a fictional group of soldiers in the American 23rd Infantry Division. And O'Brien gives us a list of what they carried. I quote, "The things they carried were largely determined by necessity. Among the necessities, or near necessities, were can openers, pocket knives, wristwatches, dog tags, mosquito repellent, chewing gum, candy, cigarettes, salt tablets, lighters, matches, sewing kits, rations, two or three canteens of water. Together, these items would weigh between 15 and 20 pounds. To that, he could have added a 3-pound entrenching tool, a 3-pound machete, and their weapons, including 8 grenades. The average weight carried by an infantryman in hot and humid Vietnam was 85 pounds. And then they took turns in carrying a 30-pound radio. But O'Brien then adds, on top of all that, he said they carried the emotional baggage of men who might die. Grief, terror, love, longing. These were intangibles, and this is the key bit, these were intangibles, but the intangibles had their own mass and specific gravity. And then he adds, they carried shameful memories. Well, what am I driving at by introducing my sermon with a book about the Vietnam War? Well, it's simply this. If soldiers carry burdens, and they do, so too do Christian soldiers. What's in your pack today? Have you come to church this evening burdened, troubled, pressed down? Is there a load on your mind, a weight on your heart? Are you troubled by the memory of past mistakes? Are you crushed by today's burdens? Are you worried about the future? And maybe on top of all that, you feel guilty because you feel like that. Life's common burdens include the burden of suffering, the burden of frailty, the burden of grief and disappointment, the burden of Christian immaturity, the burden of a guilty conscience. And his very well-known song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," Joseph Scriven asks the question, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care?" And our answer surely has to be, yes, I am burdened. I do have a load to carry. I am troubled. I do feel pressed down and discouraged. I think we're all there. So what can be done about it? Well, first of all, let's go to verse 5. And we seem to be confronted by something that's not particularly good news. First, we must bear our own burden. Verse 5, for each of us should carry their own load. That's maybe not the answer you wanted at the beginning of a sermon this evening. So let me say right away that this injunction to carry our own load does not apply to every burden that we carry. Perhaps it doesn't apply to most of the burdens that we carry, but it certainly applies to some. We are personally responsible to carry some burdens ourselves. Each one should carry their own load, we read. And of course, it's niggling at the back of your minds that this is a seeming contradiction with what we read in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But there's no contradiction. The two words there, the one in verse 2, burdens, and the one in verse 5, load, are two different words, meaning different things, referring to different things. The word that Paul uses there in verse 5 for load is the word that would describe the soldier's pack, the personal kit that each serviceman was expected to carry, and he was not expected to burden others with that personal kit. I don't know if we've got folks here that have served in the British Army. Well, if you have, you will know that it's an offence to lose your kit. It's an even more serious offence to throw it away because you find it burdensome and inconvenient. In the Roman army of Paul's day, it was a capital offence. If you dumped your kit, you could literally be beaten to death by your colleagues. So verse 5 here, in its reference to the load that each one of us must carry, is not referring to some oppressive burden, not some great weight that is too large to be borne, that we feel we ought to get rid of. It refers to the normal load of responsibility that each soldier of Christ must carry. In other words, this evening, as we think about bearing our own loads, we realize that we each have our own personal responsibilities before God. That's what that load is, our personal responsibilities before God. We simply don't have time to start to unpack that. But God entrusts each of us with our own responsibilities, and we're accountable to Him for how we've carried that pack, that load, at the end of the day. I can't duck my responsibility to God any more than you can duck yours. So taking verse 5 with verse 4 reminds us not to be harsh in judging others. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. That's the first thing. We must bear our own burdens. We must face our own responsibilities before God and not try to duck out of them. Secondly, on top of bearing our own responsibility, Paul here teaches us that we should bear one another's burdens as well. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is a command. It's an imperative. It's something, as Paul writes to the Galatians, he's saying to them, this is something you absolutely must do. You can't live to yourself. You must carry each other's burdens. But Paul's commandment, of course, is not particularly his commandment. It's Christ's commandment. It's indeed but an echo of what we read in John 13:34, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. Carry one another's burden, says Paul. Love one another, says Jesus. And love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Those words of Jesus so impressed St. John that he echoes them in his first letter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. For John, this is an absolute core Christian value. He says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. You can imagine yourself perhaps in the upper room with Jesus and the other disciples. It's the Passover evening. Jesus is about to institute the Lord's Supper. And of course, it's the night in which he's betrayed, the day before the cross. And you can hear him say this. And I suspect that many of the disciples who were around that table with him were saying to themselves, what's new about that? We've heard that commandment before. That command was there in the Old Testament scriptures. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. And it's echoed and re-echoed and restated in different terms, but at the heart the same there in the Old Testament. No, there's nothing new about what the new commandment expects. What is new is how we keep it. As I have loved you, Jesus says, so you must love one another. What is new about the commandment, as Jesus gives it, is the example that he sets. So how do we love one another? How do we share and bear one another's oppressive burdens as Jesus did? Now, someone, I forget who it was, but there's something in the back of my mind telling me it was the late Alec Mattia, who very vividly imagined that in the days before Jesus' public ministry, if you'd gone along to Nazareth, you'd have seen a sign swinging in the wind above the carpenter's shop. And on the sign, Joseph and son. And then the strap line, our yokes fit well. Our yokes fit well. Jesus, as brought up as he was, knew the importance of a well-fitting yoke. Each yoke was tailor-made for a specific donkey or a specific ox. A properly shaped yoke helped the animal to bear his load. So when in his public ministry Jesus saw people bowed down under oppressive burdens, he was deeply concerned for them. So it was that his famous invitation went out, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest as you bear the yoke, and rest as you're busy about the Father's business." Jesus lightens for us the burden of living a life pleasing to God. And then we ask, how does he do that? And the answer is that he lightens the burden of living a life pleasing to God, not by lowering the standards, but by bearing our burden of guilt and shame and failure. And so we are called by Paul here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, we're called to follow Jesus' example by helping people, on the one hand, to throw off man-made encumbrances and yokes that don't fit well, and to bear with those that cannot or ought not to be taken away. This is what we call the communion of the saints, the fellowship of God's people. We bear one another's burdens of worry and fear and doubt and temptation and sorrow. This is what we affirm when we read or recite. I don't know if you ever use the Apostles' Creed in public worship here in Smithton. We use it from time to time down in Kilmallie. And we affirm in the Creed, "I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in getting under my brother or sister's burden and help them carry it." So there we have it. Each one of us must bear our own burden, our own load. And then secondly, we must bear one another's burdens. It's a tall order. There's a lot being asked of us here by Paul. But finally, there is good news for burden bearers and for burden sharers. Paul's command, "Carry each other's burdens and this way fulfill the law of Christ," sounds like good news for the burden bearers. But what about the burden sharers? "Hey, I see you've got a heavy burden. Well, here's a part of someone else's for you to carry as well. Here's more." Now, clearly, we need some very specialized heavy lifting gear if we're going to deal with such a load of loads. And where does it come from? Well, look at the text once more, and it will tell you. If bearing one another's burden fulfills the law of Christ, surely that must mean that at some level, Christ himself bears the burdens I carry. How does he do it? Have you ever heard of the poem Footprints? Millions of copies have been hung up in millions of bathrooms. That's where I usually see it, all over the world. You know, you see a nice photograph of a sandy beach with a line of footprints receding into the distance, and it's overprinted with these words. "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed through the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there was only one. I noticed that during those periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has been only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "Those times when you only see one set of footprints, my child, are the times I carried you." Well, I have to admit, reading those words on many occasions, I've just rolled my eyes and kind of moved on. Is footprints in the sand sentimental slush? Or is it authentic Christian truth? I've heard it criticized, pulled apart, denounced. And of course, it isn't scripture, so it isn't worded perfectly. But I've come to accept it as a very valid expression of a highly important Bible truth. The idea of being carried by God is something that we find right through the Bible. Remember the story in Deuteronomy chapter 1? Moses is addressing the people. They've been on the trek for the best part of 40 years. "How did you make it through the desert?" he asks them. "How did you overcome your enemies? How was it that you were always fed? How is it that your clothes never wore out and your shoes were never done?" And he gives the answer later on in that chapter. "The Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way until you reached this place." And of course, the implication is not that the Lord now puts them down, but up to this point, he's carried you, says Moses. Then listen to Isaiah 46, verses 1 to 4. "Listen to me," says God. "Listen to me, you who have been born by me, carried by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you, and will save you." Then a few chapters later on, we come to that great gospel chapter, the greatest gospel chapter perhaps in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, where we read of God's suffering servant. And what does he do? He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He has borne the sin of many. And that, of course, takes us straight by a shortcut to the cross. And there God's grace lifted, carried, bore my greatest burden. The burden of guilt that stems from my rebelliousness and my disobedience. And the logic of the gospel is this. If God bears my heaviest load, will he not also bear my lighter ones? Or specially strengthen me to be able to bear them? And the answer is yes. Yes, of course he will. There's an old sentimental song. I haven't heard it sung in church for a very, very long time. And one verse of it goes like this. Some of you my age or older might remember it. "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. But burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." And I can see mouths going, so some of you do know that and you're familiar with it. Now, there's an important question to ask at this point. Does that mean that my burden will feel lighter? Will I feel myself being lifted and transported above reality and carried forward? And the answer's probably not. Our children gave us a great 25th wedding anniversary present a good number of years ago now. And it was a flight in a hot air balloon. And some of you may know I'm quite a keen photographer, and the camera I had in those days was really quite a heavy, burdensome piece of equipment. And as I went up in that hot air balloon, that camera weighed exactly the same around my neck as it did when I was standing on the ground. That little burden didn't feel any different at all, despite the fact that in reality I was 7,000 feet in the air and being borne along by the wind. So it's unlikely that we will feel the difference of being carried by God. Hence the perplexity that lies behind the footsteps poem. Where were you? Didn't feel any different. In fact, it felt worse at times. I seemed to be on my own. But it's better by far to live depending on God's word than in trusting in my feelings. God's word assures me that he ultimately will do the heavy lifting. And that helps me to get my shoulder under my brother or sister's burdens and so work out in action Christ's law of love. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, for each one of us should carry their own load. May God bless his word to us.